14 Oregon lawmakers are on a road trip this summer. And no, this isn't a comedy coming soon to theaters near you. It's a plan to put legislators in touch with transportation infrastructure, the roads, bridges, ports, and rail connections most in need in the state of Oregon. The legislature's transportation committee gets together again in Medford tomorrow for a tour of the Rogue Valley and a public meeting in the Jackson County Library. More details are coming up on those events, but first we hear from Oregon State Senator Lee Beyer. Senator Beyer is a Democrat from Springfield representing the state's 6th Senate District, and he's co-chair of the legislature's Joint Committee on Transportation Preservation and Modernization. Senator Beyer, welcome to The Exchange.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. So tomorrow's meeting in Medford will be the 7th in a series of 10 held across the state. What are the transportation concerns and priorities you've heard most so far?
Well, what we've heard from most people so far, and we've pretty much been all over the state, and now we're focusing on the southern portion to be followed in another week by the coast and then back up to Portland in the Central Valley. But mostly what we've heard is that people are aware that the roads are not in good shape in many places. We've heard that very loudly from cities and counties, particularly about their roads. As you may be aware, any gas taxes or transportation fees that are imposed, half of it goes directly to cities and counties, and the other half goes under the state system. So that's a big concern. People just, you know, you drive on the road and you don't think a lot about it other than it's not smooth enough or it's too congested. And part of the problem we're dealing with is, you know, Oregon has 72,000 miles of roads to take care of, almost 8,000 bridges, 90 airports and 23 ports, and a whole lot of traffic moving up and down the road as the state continues to grow. Most of those bridges and most of the roads were originally constructed over 50 to 70 years ago, and they've had a design life of about 50 years, so they're kind of hitting the end of that period of time and need some work. We're also hearing a lot of concern about what happens if we happen to have that big earthquake that people have been talking about a lot, and so seismically reinforcing a lot of the bridges is a big concern for people as well. So the message that we're hearing is maintain the investment that citizens have already made, take care of the congestion, and keep the system working. That's kind of what we're hearing.
And talking about the system, in the 2015 legislative session, the transportation bill ran into trouble from legislators who did not like the clean fuels bill renewal. Is there likely another bill that represents a trade-off for getting a transportation package through this session?
Well, we actually have not gotten to the point of trying to create any packages at all. So, no, I can't say that we've talked about that. It's certainly there, but we're not, it's on some people's minds. Although the reality of that one is, and I believe it's more emotional concern than reality, there has been no impact at all yet. And if there isn't any impact from that, it's probably not for a decade or more out there. So more about politics and less about reality, and so we'll just have to talk about that.
Well, speaking of reality, this committee's statewide tour began a week or so before the derailment of an oil train near Mosier sent crude into the Columbia River Gorge. Washington and California, they've passed laws giving the state government new oversight over railroad companies and their response to crashes. Similar measures have not picked up steam in Oregon. Does that have a future? What's the reality facing regulation there?
Well, the reality on the railroads is that regardless of what states pass, it's under federal control, not the states, because it's interstate commerce. And so I know you've probably heard the governor speaking strongly about that and asking the federal government to ensure a higher level of safety on the track. Certainly our two state United States senators have raised that issue with the U.S. Department of Transportation, but we're left as a sort of our hands are tied. There's not much that a state can do The railroads are not the easiest to work with. And, you know, they answer to folks back on the East Coast, not on the West Coast.
Worth noting, Oregon Congressman Peter DeFazio, Greg Walden, and Earl Blumenauer did introduce some federal legislation, the Community Protection and Preparedness Act of 2016. On that note, I noticed that the website govtrack.org gave it a 5% chance of being enacted. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, we're pretty skeptical about that. It's surprising to me that the Congress doesn't act on these things, but, you know, it's they have a powerful lobby back there, the railroads do.
We are talking with Oregon State Senator Lee Beyer about transportation issues across the state and zooming in this week on the Rogue Valley. Please join our discussion with your thoughts on where the legislature should focus its attention. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So, Senator Beyer, another big picture question here. How do you ensure that the less populated areas in the state receive equitable funding for transportation projects?
But it's really not as much a question of equitability as sufficiency. In terms of the current formula, it's passed out on the basis of population and driver's licenses and under a formula system like that. And while that tends to work in larger metropolitan areas like a Medford or a Eugene, when you get out into some of the smaller towns, you know, I've heard a couple of mayors say, well, maybe you can give me enough money that over 5 years I can fill a pothole. So we're trying to look at that and say, how do you deal with that? But part of the trade-off of that is if you're going to give them more, you're going to give the larger cities less. So we're working on that. But I've asked the League of Oregon Cities and Association of Counties to take a look at what's called the small cities or small counties funding formula and suggest a change, see if we can get the cities to agree to what they consider to be an equitable distribution.
The larger cities or the smaller cities are putting up an impasse there?
Well, we hope they do. We hope they come up with a suggestion. We'll address it one way or another when we get into drafting legislation, but it'd be better if the cities themselves came up with the formula. They're very protective of their share of the money.
Of the gas taxes?
Yes. It's gas taxes and it's registration fees and licensing fees. So it's the whole gamut of anything to do with the roads in terms of the fee. You may recall that under Oregon's Constitution, any taxes or fees that are assessed on transportation have to be spent on roads, so it doesn't go off into any other services.
And roads only and not rail or port or these 8,000 bridges that were built more than 50 years ago, many of them?
Not on rail or not on airports, but certainly on bridges that are on the roads.
All right. We're talking with Senator Lee Beyer. Senator Beyer, we had a segment not too long ago about the One Oregon report from the governor's Transportation Vision Panel. I believe a commissioner out of Deschutes County was on to talk about that. And the gist there was the interconnectedness for Oregon, even though seemingly congestion in Portland doesn't have a lot to do with a failing bridge in Jackson County. However, these kinds of things do guide the decisions of shippers and commercial interests. Is it still tough to make a case for how you help a far-flung part of Oregon with a project in Portland or some other metropolitan area?
Well, you know, when I was part of that vision panel, it was a very large group of people, and one of the things that was somewhat surprising to many of us was as the governor's panel moved around the state, hearing people and talking in particular groups, they heard in almost every community, especially from the business community, that congestion in Portland was a big problem. And if you sit back and think about that, you know, that makes sense. Oregon is an exporting state, and our economy is depending on moving goods. And most of them move up through the ports in, used to be Portland, but not so much anymore, but up in Puget Sound. And to get there, you got to get through, you know, the Portland area. So that's become a big, big issue for business. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Bend talking with Les Schwab Tire, and you may think that, well, gee, that's not a big deal. But that was a very big concern of theirs because they've got to move their product into their warehouse, and then they've got to get it distributed to the five, six states that they serve. So Big issues in terms of that we don't often think about as we're driving around our hometowns, you know.
We're talking with Lee Beyer about transportation issues in Oregon. Senator Beyer, thinking about shipping, it is an enormous contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. And this conversation we're happening in light of Oregon becoming one of the first states to pass legislation to get off of coal and double down on its renewable energy sources. The Clean Energy Act, of course, is what I'm talking about. How can transportation policy also address climate change and reducing greenhouse gas emissions?
Well, actually, if you look at Oregon's sources of greenhouse gas emissions, mm-hmm. the largest source is actually vehicles. It's not the electricity. Electricity generation is the second largest source, and it's a little easier to target because you're dealing specific generators. But the transportation is just a tough nut to crack on that. And we're trying to address that some through encouraging people to use more energy efficient cars that, you know, burn less gas and do less pollution, and also shifting to alternative vehicles. A couple of counties in Oregon, for example, the sheriff's departments have shifted to propane as their fueling source. Now, that still has some greenhouse gas emissions, but it's about half of what burning gasoline or diesel does. And it's also about half the cost. So there's some real advantages there. Certainly, we've talked a lot about encouraging people to move to electric vehicles. So we're talking about those kinds of things as part of the package. That's what Clean Fuels is all about, is trying to reduce that amount of greenhouse gas emissions.
And when you talk about encouraging, I mean, there's cost incentives. For some people, there's a moral imperative, but is there a legislative solution or a legal encouragement in the immediate future?
Well, the legislative encouragement has been through in the form of some incentives for using alternative vehicles. We've had that both for trucks and for cars. We certainly have invested money to create a network of recharging stations for those who want to use electric vehicles, and you're starting to see that change. I think you'll see more of that in the future, if not for everybody's primary car, maybe their second car. Everybody seems to have one or two of those. Electric vehicles are getting much better mileage than they used to, so I think the change is underway. We're looking at financing alternatives for that. I mean, one of the problems with the shift to, for example, electric vehicles is under the current fueling system, you know, our taxing system, they don't pay for their share of the roads. So that'll be something we'll be considering as part of a transportation package.
Let's talk, before we move on from, I think part of the prevalence of vehicles is the importance of shipping by truck. What about freight connectivity? Here in our part of the world, the sound of the railroad has returned to the evenings. I can hear it from my house, the Corp freight trains rolling through again in southern Oregon. Is freight connectivity likely to be a priority, and are you hearing that from either managers of transportation infrastructure or the public this statewide tour that you're doing?
We are hearing that a lot. When we were over in Ontario, for example, a big part of their economy is agriculture, particularly onions. Those products mostly are shipped to the East Coast, and right now they're having to truck their onions over 300 miles up into Washington State to have them put on a train and then pulled back through Ontario going east. We're looking at what's called a multimodal center there that would possibly change that and allow the an alternative railroad to build specific or put cars together, and then they would be pulled by Union Pacific back east in a better delivery time. That would be great help to them if that makes sense. We're looking at a business plan for that. Or likewise, we're looking at one in the Mid-Valley area. Here now, the area that I represent has a lot of agricultural wheat and grass seed industry, and they're having great trouble being able to get their product up into Puget Sound. In fact, some of them, to avoid the congestion in Portland, are actually driving all the way up to 97 and down into the Dalles to have their wheat put on barges to avoid the Portland traffic. So we're trying to figure out if there's ways to encourage that traffic. the sort of conflict with the main, they're called Class One Railroads, Union Pacific and Burlington, is what they really like to do is have unit trains of 100 cars or more that go from a port to a port. That's how they make money. They don't really like to build trains in between very much, like they used to when we had a lot of timber and stuff going on. So we're trying to find ways around that. Done a lot of work, as you may know, with the Coos Bay Rail Line, which Coos County actually bought, or the Port of Coos Bay, and trying to make that connection a little better.
I do want to talk more about the Port of Coos Bay. We are talking right now with State Senator Lee Beyer. I'm Emily Curitan, and you are welcome to join this discussion. What are your transportation priorities? Is shipping from your area expensive or next to impossible? We want to hear from you on the exchange, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Just a couple of minutes left here with Senator Beyer. You just mentioned the Port of Coos Bay, and I'd love to zoom in on that area, and particularly plans to build a pipeline and a natural gas shipping terminal there. Is that something that the state has taken, that this committee has taken a stance on to encourage or discourage one way or the other?
No, that's not within our purview at all. And this committee, there's a few permits. Most of that issue is a battle, again, with the federal government. The pipeline that's being discussed down there is an interstate pipeline, which means that it falls under the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, as does the LNG export facility in Coos Bay. So the state really, you know, we have a voice in terms of being able to express the state's opinion to the federal government, but frankly, not much more voice than every other citizen does on their own.
Well, it seems like the state would be in a big position to respond if the project moves forward in terms of creating the infrastructure around a major shipping port.
Well, the issue around it would be more one of making sure that it's done safely. There's environmental permits that they have to get. But those are, you know, there are standards that are set out there, and they have to meet the standards. But if they meet the standards, then the state's really not in position to say no on it.
Senator Beyer, you tossed out a term earlier that sort of flew right by me. It was multimodal, talking about trucking those onions so far in order to put them on a train. When we're talking about the shipping industry, what does multimodal refer to for a center?
Well, it essentially means being able to either put a trucking trailer on a train. That's something they've done for a long time. That's one way to do it. Another way is most of the stuff that you see coming in from overseas or going overseas goes in a shipping container that's set on top of a flatbed.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get those containers put on a train, you know, in southern Oregon or in the Mid Valley here, then we can relieve the trucking pressure going through Portland.
I see. And again, that congestion in Portland does have a ripple effect throughout the state. Another form, what I originally thought multimodal might mean in a different context, was talking about repurposing certain parts of the road to be more bikeable and walkable. There's been a real renaissance in that area here in southern Oregon, and programs like Oregon Scenic Bikeways. Is the safety infrastructure, the priorities for road building and road maintenance, keeping up with the marketing efforts to get people biking?
it varies by community. I mean, if you go into Portland, there's a lot of effort there. The only way we can use transportation money that's generated, as I said before, from gas taxes or our fees, is if the bike lanes are on a road.
Uh-huh.
Those we can build. In terms of being off-road trails and that, we can't use that for that. That's a program we call Connect Oregon, which was actually funded by lottery-backed bonds. We've done quite a bit of that, but it's a fairly limited pool of funds. And certainly there's a lot of pressure, as you mentioned in your area, as we've traveled around the state, that's been something that we've heard a lot from people, that they think the state ought to do more in that.
Go ahead.
But the problem with that is finding a source of money that we can use for that. Because, you know, if we get into the general fund, then that's competition against education and health care and other things.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to a call here. We've got George and Wairika on the line. George, you're on the air.
Thank you. From Smoky City here.
Uh-huh.
the railroad between our two states would basically help Coos Bay and that entire the western part of the state to be able to transport things down through our railroad centers here in California, and it would benefit everything, including most of the rural areas that have no access other than by trucks. Take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, George, thanks for that. So George in Northern California asking about some interconnectivity there of railroads.
Well, I think I heard him say it was from Yreka. I believe the main line goes through there, the UP main line. The big issue on the main line has been getting the tunnels enlarged so they can get double stack containers through. And certainly we would be very supportive of that. I know Southern Pacific has spent a lot of money in Oregon. I don't know about the California side, dealing with that, trying to improve their trackage and doing that. They were one of the initial beneficiaries of the state's investment through the Connect Oregon Fund to encourage them to spend more. We leverage their money with some state money, although that's controversial. Some people think that, you know, the public putting money into a private rail system is inappropriate. So it's a difficult situation. It's just the way that the rail system has developed in this country has been under a private model, which limits the public's ability to influence that.
We've been talking with Oregon State Senator Lee Beyer. He is co-chair of the Joint Transportation Committee on Preservation and Modernization, which indeed many of Oregon's 72,000 miles of roads and 8,000 bridges are in need of those things. Senator Beyer, thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me, and I hope people will turn out tomorrow night for the public hearing.
Yeah, that's going on tomorrow at the Jackson County Library, Wednesday, August 31st at 5 p.m., a public meeting for state legislators to hear from you on your transportation priorities. You can find out more about the event on our website, jeffexchange.org.